Among the articles in this month's issue of Metropolis, the magazine of architecture, culture, and design, is one called The Mauling of Manhattan. It's by Paul Goldberger, the architecture critic at The New Yorker. Many people have talked about the cleaning up of Times Square and the entry into Manhattan of once forbidden chain stores like Kmart, but Goldberger says some New York City dwellers have become part-time suburbanites. NPR's Margo Adler reports.
The street theater artist Reverend Billy has often staged protests inside Starbucks and the Disney stores to make the point that New York City is becoming like everywhere else. He says there's even one place in Greenwich Village.
If you slowly turn in a 360-degree turn, you find a Kmart, a Starbucks, a Gap for Kids, a Kinko's, a Barnes & Noble with the Starbucks on the second floor, and then a third Starbucks.
But architecture critic Paul Goldberger goes further. He says the city is becoming suburban. He says he began to notice this when he brought his 14-year-old son to play hockey at Chelsea Piers, a huge sports complex by the West Side Highway. He drove there and parked at a gargantuan parking garage, just like any suburban parent. He started shopping at the huge Fairway Market in Harlem, pulling a shopping cart of groceries to his car. This in a city famous for inhabitants who have never bothered to get a driver's license. Looking at other upper-middle-class families, he noticed for the first time that many now live a divided life.
Where they may be New Yorkers two-thirds of the time and live a suburbs in New York existence the other third of the time.
Goldberger said he would show me the suburbanization of the city by walking through a typical neighborhood. He chose the Upper West Side in the 60s. Standing on Broadway and looking up and down the street, you could see the chains that exist everywhere. Banana Republic, Reebok, Barnes & Noble, Starbucks.
It used to be New York versus America. Now, certainly where we're standing now at 67th and Broadway, it's New York just like America, except without a roof on the mall yet.
Goldberger says the mollification of New York City is not about whether the local Needix was better than McDonald's. The real issue is the devaluation and privatization of public space. New Yorkers, he says, believed until recently that the street was the most important place in the world.
And that public space was what the city revolved around. Because the real difference between the city and the suburbs isn't tall buildings, and it isn't busy people running around, it isn't crowds. It's the sense of public space versus private space.
Here we are at Barnes & Noble.
Here we are. We've now made our way down the block in front of Barnes & Noble. It looks just like every Barnes & Noble and every mall all across America.
Let's go inside for a second. Here we are. I can talk to you here, and they can come over and say, please not here.
Whereas out in
the street, they can't do that.
That's exactly right. The street belongs to all of us, which means it's on some level somewhat uncontrollable. And that's the price we pay for the incredible diversity and richness of urban life, that we can't control it perfectly.
Listening back to our conversation, I noticed that I lowered my voice the minute I stepped inside the store. A security guard asked us to move from our place near the escalator within minutes of arriving. But Goldberger doesn't completely condemn the suburbanization of New York. As we continue down the street, it becomes clear that he's ambivalent. On the one hand, he says,
what is all this crap that looks like Minnesota and Seattle and Dallas doing here? But then, you know, when I take a step back and look at the larger forces at work, I'm not sure that all of the effects are evil.
Goldberger ticks off a series of cultural changes. Brooks Brothers, once the stuffiest men's store in the city, now looks like J. Crew, he says, and not so different from Banana Republic. You can hate USA Today, New York, or Boston, but it can seem like a lifeline to the world from a small southern town. IKEA, the furniture store, gives to the middle class a look and feel that is extremely upscale. Put all this together, he says, the gap between the working class and the upper class is shrinking.
It's all about pushing toward a middle.
So from a New Yorker's point of view, he says, a unique culture is destroyed. But for most of the country,
this sort of monoculture, as some people have called it, troubling as it is, and much as it represents a real loss for a place like New York, nonetheless represents a net gain for most other places.
We stand in front of a Starbucks. Come on, I say to him, are you saying it's just elitist to say that this place can't hold a candle to a real cafe? like the Pamplona in Cambridge, where a friend of mine sat for 7 years and wrote 5 unpublished novels. There are places like that in cities all over the country. Goldberger replies.
I mean, I'm as sick as everyone else is of the fact that there's a Starbucks everywhere you turn. On the other hand, Starbucks has also gotten people out in public, sitting there, sipping coffee, and seeing other people, and not sitting at home staring at television or their computer screens.
As we enter, I think of Reverend Billy and his Church of Stop Shopping choir. They're much less sanguine about Starbucks coffee. Reverend Billy's despair over the mollification of New York led him to preach in Disney stores, calling Mickey Mouse the Antichrist.
As a result of just improvising to tourists with their heads turned away, I started developing a sort of secular theology. We're drowning children in a sea of identical details. Save yourselves.
But Goldberger says a few years ago you wouldn't see anyone writing in coffee shops. He poses the question, is the attempt to rip off a coffee house in Cambridge or San Francisco and turn it into a mass market phenomenon better or worse for people who had no coffee houses at all? Few doubt that the mollification and suburbanization of America's great cities is happening. The debate is whether it's inevitable and whether it's right.
We're gonna put that Starbucks down and we'll stop
shopping,
forever and amen.
Margo Adler, NPR News, New York.